Good morning. Good to see everybody here. Nice weather today. Everybody can dry out a little bit, finally. That's good. I think we're all waterlogged. And a couple announcements. Don't forget about our Wednesday evening dinner. If you want to come, just let Edie know. I think we have a pretty good turnout so far, so be kind of fun. Might have different people here that we're going to see. So just make sure you sign up so we can order enough food, because I think we're going to have it brought in. So actually, we're going to pick something up. So also, I wanted to see if you can think about, I'm trying to get together a document. Every once in a while, we have people reach out to the church asking for help. And, you know, you don't want to just throw a bunch of money at someone you don't know necessarily all the time. So what I'd like to get together is a document that lists a bunch of maybe nonprofits or organizations that help people in need, whether it be food, clothing, assistance. And if you can think of any of those, just email them to me or Edie. And I just want to get all those in one area. The only one I'm thinking of is the Pregnancy Crisis Center, but I know there's a lot of them out there that help for free, so offer assistance. So if you have any in mind in the Baytown area, send them to us, and we could at least direct people to the right place if they truly need that kind of assistance, you know. So anyways, I think that's all I have for now, and just continue to pray for our church family, people that are ill or sick or being tested, or you know the drill. Adversity is always there, so continue to pray for those things. So anyways, we'll go ahead and dismiss the children. And today we are in Number 18, veracity number 18. Truth. It's always a good topic. That's what we live by. That's what we like to think by. So this is what we're studying. It's a good one to end it on. It kind of wraps up the rest of the essence of God up pretty good. Before we get started, let's take a moment of silent prayer. And for us, that just means we can confess our sins before God the Father. That's a private issue. None of my business, but it is God's business. And He loves to hear from you when it comes to that acknowledgement, that recognition of what happened, of the wrongs that we commit against Him. So let's take a moment and we can do that, and we'll get started. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for the just the beautiful weather we have right now, and just thank you for this service and this church and these people. Just ask that we can have the calmness of us today, so we can easily and more readily take in the word and receive it, and also be able to use it and glorify you in our lives. We thank you so much for everything you do for us, and we just ask that you continue to lead us and guide us, and that we stay on track. We thank you so much in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are, number 18. And last time we looked at the Christian attitude and what comes with that as far as blessings go. Because remember, as we've been making our way down this trail, wisdom is associated with blessings. And with wisdom comes blessings, no matter where it's found. If it's from God and it's His word and His truth, wherever it's found, there's going to be blessings. And that's why it's exciting to know that if you're a part of that wisdom and have His wisdom and His thoughts, you will have blessing. That blessing will follow you as well. So, and also, I think it's a good thing that we're talking about blessing, because I know that's one way you'll listen, right? Blessing always kind of gets our ears perked up and gets us excited, because we need motivation too. And God knows that. And I think he provides that around every corner. He blesses us in ways we don't know, we don't think about, we don't expect half the time. But he does it, and he does it knowing in assurance that you will glorify him with those blessings. And so that is, to me, the most important thing as a believer, as our end, because God is always there waiting to bless. But the thing about it is, if we're not willing or ready to receive that blessing, the system breaks down, and it's not on God's end, it's on our end, right? So we just have to begin to see that and realize that we do have a part to play in this. And if you remember, that part was mostly to listen. Remember, there was a huge part of course, understanding was part of that. But these were all the things associated with receiving blessings. And these are what the verses were bringing out, verses 5 through 34. And these are just kind of cherry-picked through here that I thought were good to write down and know. And you can see the majority is to listen. And that's not just to hear, remember that. That was to take it, hear it, and also carry it out, be obedient to it. Take it and follow it. Make it a reality in your soul. Make it real in your life. These are things that we have to take to heart, because if we don't take them to heart, we don't want to be like the Pharisees, pretty on the outside and ugly on the inside. We want to be through and through a Christian that is sincere, that is in the Christian life for genuine reasons, right? We want to be rightly motivated through the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that's really the only way you can do this, is through God's power, through his instruction, through his wisdom. And I think these are how we do it. We understand and we listen to what we understood. And so it's a little process. And then I mentioned that these other ones through here, take instruction, keep his ways, and be wise. So you know there's also that part that we have to guard, right? There's a guarding of your spiritual life that we have to follow, and to kind of stay walking on that thin line, because that's not always the easiest thing in the world to do. As you know, you live in the world. But that's the reason why we have to guard it, right? We have to keep it close to us, as far as not veering off God's path for your life, because that's very easy to do in this world. One decision can get you so far off God's plan for your life that when we look back, months have passed, or even years, and we can see the bad decision that we made way back here that caused us to detour. And, you know, we have all been a part of that. We can all see decisions in our life that cause these things for us to depart. So if a person is not obedient to God's word, then it's impossible for them to handle the things that we're talking about. And that's why this listening is so critical, because God is looking for Christians who can listen. We all like people that listen. We all like kids that listen. We like pets that listen. And God likes Christians that listen. He appreciates it. He desires it. That's the only way we can have any success in the Christian life. That's the only way God is glorified. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of an obedient Christian. And we could take this, you know, really far if we wanted to, but obedience goes a long ways. Obedience is a day-to-day thing. It's not a week-to-week or a Sunday-to-Sunday thing. It's a daily, moment-by-moment thing, I will add. Because you're being obedient to either your sin nature or the plan of God, the will of God, and the Holy Spirit, you know, when we're not grieving or quenching, we are in God's plan because we are walking in righteousness, filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's the obedience that we're talking about here. And that's what the state God wants us in, so we can receive the blessing and also not focus on the blessing at the same time. You think, well, how is that possible? Well, it's very possible when you realize the source of the blessing. So we can't afford to turn off the listening switch, is what I mean. Or I could say we can't afford to turn off the obedience switch. Same thing, right? And that just starts here. Think about that. This is just the beginning of that process. Obedience, you know, I think of the movies where you see the teenager in the house before he leaves. His mom's like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And right when he gets out the door, he throws this in the bushes and he, you know, all this stuff is out the window. Well, you can do that as well with what we're teaching and understanding and what you hear in here. We can just drop it at the door before we leave. And then all of a sudden, we're not listening anymore, right? So listening has to be carried out until the end. And the end I see as the place of being transferred to eternity, right? Or the end you could see as an applicational point in your life. I would say that's a temporary end. If we take these things and then carry them out to the wisdom standpoint of applying them, that's an end as well. So, and don't forget that all these things that we've been discussing have a preserving nature to them. They preserve us as far as keeping you safe, keeping you well, keeping you healthy, keeping you less stressful, less stressed out, right? There's a lot of things that the Word of God does for us, and this is just one of them. It preserves us physically, spiritually, mentally, all these things. The Word of God preserves us. When we fully rely on God with our life, that takes the burden off of you destroying ourselves, right? Basically is what we do through bad decisions. So there's definitely a preserving aspect of wisdom, and that's what it does. And when you think about what wisdom does, what does it do? It gives us the ability to make good decisions that keep us from harming ourselves, or that keep us from bringing self-induced harm on ourselves from a bad decision. Wisdom is how you take the best path in life through God's wisdom. That's how we do it. That's how we make our way down the road, is by making good decisions. And that's really, if you want to think about wisdom, that's the nuts and the bolts of it, is it's the ability to make right decisions within God's plan for your specific life, not for your neighbor's life, but for your life, because there's an impact there, right? They have their life, you have your life, and you have an impact with them, but you can't live their life for them. A lot of times we kind of get bent out of shape or kind of put too much emphasis on what someone should be doing or should not be doing. And, you know, I understand we care, right? There's a caring aspect to this. But at the same time, you have to stop at the point of realizing that they have their own volition. They have their own decisions to make. And so, unfortunately, listening, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, listening carries a heavy load on the volition. It carries a big responsibility from the Christian as far as what we're doing here and how we're doing it and why we're doing it, right? Everybody needs to answer those questions in their own life. So preservation is good. That's how we're satisfied. That's how we're happy, or at least one of the ways God keeps us content, maybe comfortable, maybe not, but you get the idea. Preservation is always a good thing. It allows you to last longer in the physical sense, and in the spiritual sense, it keeps you in a state of satisfaction. If you don't need anything, guess what? You're satisfied. And when you look at your needs as being in God, everything is provided. Therefore, there is no more want. Want is really what drives us nuts, isn't it? When we want something that we don't have, or we think we need something, or we think we are uncomfortable and we want to get out of that situation, that's what really drives us crazy. We need to focus on the source of what provides the satisfaction within whatever we find ourselves in, right? So these are all big ideas, but the reality is they all come back to this: listening, to being obedient as a Christian. So, and I know you all desire to be healthy, both spiritually, physically, mentally. These things are important for us to feel and realize and live the way we hope to live. So we left off with verse 35, but let me start reading from verse 34. It says this, "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorpost." And you remember the translation I liked was, "Happy are those who listen to me, who are present every day at my door, and who keep vigil at the entrance of my house." So I think happiness is a good translation for blessedness or being blessed, because that is a reality. Those two go together, don't they? They do go together. When you're receiving blessings from God, your happiness isn't on the blessing. If you're in the plan, if you're growing spiritually, if you're maintaining that upward pattern of growth, your happiness is derived from watching and waiting at the front door of wisdom's home. That's where our happiness is derived. We're content on receiving the word and using what God has provided them. There's a sufficiency there, an all sufficiency. It's provided. It's done. It's just a matter of, what do we do with that doneness that God has already done? Do we wait, or do we make a bad decision prematurely and disrupt the process from our standpoint? Well, hopefully we can learn to trust in what he's doing, right? And I think this verse brings out a lot of ideas here. I know we covered this verse, but I just wanted to give them to you all on a slide. There's only, I think I just listed four. There's a lot, there's more here. But this is just some of them that have to do with watching and waiting. Oh, maybe I didn't give them to you. Oh, that was the verse that the other translation there. But here they are. Shows a positive attitude toward the Word of God. That's what the verse shows. Watching and waiting means you have a desire to do it for a reason. You're positive. I call that positive volition, right? That's a being a positive Christian. If you are listening, there's no other way to do it except to be positive. Because otherwise you're just showing up, right? We have enough Christians that just show up and don't carry out the decisions that God wants us to do in obedience because they're not positive. But positive Christians are the one who are waiting and watching. Here's an anticipation factor in here. There is an anticipation to the spiritual life. There is an excitement in wondering and seeing and watching what God will do in your life. I think that's exciting. You know, we don't know what he's going to do. We don't know where he's going to take us. We don't know what plans he has for us, but we can anticipate those plans. We can know for certain that there is something that he is doing, and it's always positive. It's always to our benefit. If we want to stay in the plan, if we want to stay, choose to be in that realm under his protection, right? So anticipation carries a hope with it as well, which, as you well know, hope isn't just I hope. It's that confident expectation that comes with anticipation. Anticipation is not just thinking, well, this may or may not happen. This is knowing with certainty, even though you may not know what will happen, it's still knowing with certainty that God will fulfill his side of the bargain, which he does, right? He always does that. So consistency, watching and waiting. What did the verse say? Present every day, or keeping vigil at the entrance of my house. That just shows your consistency, doesn't it? Consistency. And if there's any more important thing, one of them is consistency. I definitely believe that. Of course, that, you know, as well, people can be consistent and still not be living the Christian way of life. But at the same time, consistency is needed. It's needed. You can say they're at least living a better life if they weren't being consistent. Possibly. I don't know how far that goes, but The reality is they are at least making an effort to be here. And I think that says a lot. And I think there's more to it than that, right? But consistency is what gets us moving in the right direction. Without your consistency, guess what? You wouldn't be at the level you are in your spiritual growth. You can't spend 1 or 2 days a week growing spiritually and move in any direction upward to spiritual maturity. You can't do it. The world is too strong to be able to grow 1 or 2 days a week in God's plan without being taken out of action by something in this world. Usually a bad decision that we get caught up in. And alertness. I like the word alertness because it carries with it discernment. If you're going to be alert, you know what? You can see what you're alert about. You can recognize the things that, okay, that doesn't look right. This isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. This is not as unto the Lord. So discernment carries with it wisdom. Those two go together, don't they? They do. And alertness is what we can have when we begin to recognize things that are not right, that are not in accordance with God's will or His plan, or things that you see and hear that are not truthful. You know, there's something about discernment that it gives you that you may not know the answer, but you can know whether something is right or whether it's wrong. And that goes back to your conscience, doesn't it? We can see things differently than someone who is not in the Word, someone who is not receiving truth, because we're basing our decision off of the Word of God. We're basing off our decision off of wisdom. We're basing it off of the power of the Holy Spirit. So in those aspects, not only do you have help, but you have the things in your soul necessary to be alert with. And nowadays, there's so much to be alert about. I mean, it seems like, you know, you keep seeing things that you're unaware of or that are new. Of course, I know, you know, nothing's new under the sun, but there are, I think, new strategies. There's new technology. There's new ways to do things that we didn't used to have. Of course, the old sin nature never changes, right? It's just coming up with different ways and things to use to be nefarious with. But at the same time, some of those ways can really catch you off guard because we've never seen them. We've never heard of them. And this is what we need. We need alertness in our day and age to be aware of these things. And this also carries an alertness towards your personal spiritual growth. I think every single person that is serious about their spiritual life should know where they are spiritually. And I don't mean on a scale drawn out on a piece of paper. I mean, you should know whether you are growing, whether you are not growing, whether you are growing slowly, whether you are moving at a good pace, or whether you are off track. I think we all should have an awareness of our spiritual growth. We know us as a person. You know, that's a big part of the Christian way of life, is knowing yourself, knowing your sin nature, knowing your thought process, knowing how and who you are and how you're going to react, and knowing your spiritual growth. What do you do? I mean, you can't, kid yourself. I mean, we can, but you're the one that's responsible for realizing these things, because guess what? No one else is going to help you, at least to the extent that we need to be put back where we need to be on track, right? Remember, it comes with that consistency, right? And if we're not consistent in this area, we're the ones that have to notice that, because the world sure isn't going to tell you. They're just going to agree with going in the wrong direction. Actually, most of your friends and family are going to help you to continue to go off track. Oh, yeah, you're right. You know, you're working a lot of hours. I can't imagine that. No one's going to agree that you need to spend time in Bible study every day. Man, that sure is a lot. Golly, you study that much? You know, it's abnormal to our culture, unfortunately. But it's normal to God. This is what's normal and what is actually required from God. To be a normal Christian and a normal person that can actually think correctly requires the daily time set out for God. I mean, what is 30 minutes? What is an hour, right? Some of you have more time, some of you have less time, but you could at least do that, right? He's the one who controls how your day goes. I would pay him just a tad bit attention on, you know, how your mental state is, your spirituality, and how you deal with the day. That's a huge thing, right? So you would think that wouldn't be too hard to sell, but it is. So also with alertness, are you aware what's distracting you? Are you aware of the things that can distract you, that can pull you away? We should know that. Your best friend, your spouse, they may or may not know that. But the reality is we know that because we know ourselves, right? We know the things that get us off track. We know the things we really enjoy. And if we spend too much time in them, oh, all of a sudden, you know, we miss this, we miss that, right? We're not in fellowship anymore. We know those areas. So that's part of that, that alertness that's described here in this verse. And that could be anything. It could be one person that you get around that completely distracts you. You go back to when you're 18 and now all of a sudden you're an 18-year-old when you get around this person. I don't know. I'm just saying, right? We have certain people or certain environments that can really shake us up sometimes, depending on your spiritual growth, right? And the level of that, the magnitude of that, the pressure on us is different for everybody. Sometimes those people just affect us differently than any other person. So in my mind, in your mind, we need to be aware of that weakness, that failing in our life, and just counteract it, right? I think that's part of knowing yourself, knowing what areas may be possible areas for concern. That's being alert as a Christian. Okay, I'm going here, and I'm going to see this, this, and this. Or, you know, I love to do this hobby, and I have this much time to do it, and now I'm spending this much time. See, it can be anything. It doesn't have to be people. It could be what's distracting you wherever it is. I don't know, but you do. So no one's really responsible to warn you or to keep you from getting distracted except yourself. Can we help people in that area? Yeah, we can assist. If you notice something that someone, hey, you know, maybe help them with some sound Christian advice. You know, what's going on, man? I noticed you kind of been spending a lot of time here, or you hadn't been coming here, or are you everything okay? You know, just check on them, see how they're doing every once in a while, because those subtle distractions are very subtle. They're subtle. And so when people get off track very subtly, they may not have the alertness needed to see, but you may see and be able to assist in that area. So what's the point of all this? But don't forget, these things are required for the blessings. Because if you're not alert with a blessing, that'll just throw you off in left field. If you have the blessing, you're gone, right? Here's the blessing. You're head over heels for the blessing. We have to have all these things and maintain these things with the blessing. That's the power of enjoying something, is to maintaining your focus on God, maintaining your forward momentum in that direction, and then everything else, that's not where your happiness is. But it can supplement your happiness because your focus is on the source of happiness. So where are we going with all this? Why? You know, there's always a point God is moving towards, and God doesn't ever leave us in the dark, does he, on his word? And what happens here in this next verse is there's a for, the English word for, which is it's a conjunction in the Hebrew, but it's indicating a reason or a purpose of the verses we just talked about here. The reason or the purpose. Verse 35. Says, for he who finds me finds life. Finds life. Remember, this is wisdom speaking, or Solomon speaking, but you get the idea. He's speaking from wisdom's point of view. And obtains favor from the Lord. That's the point. That's the idea. That's why we want to do those things. We want to find life and we want to find favor. Those are big, I would think those are good things. And they are. They are. We should all want those things. Whoever finds wisdom finds life, true meaning, true purpose. This is what we all want and desire. You know, you see so many young people that seem to have no true purpose. You know, I mean, I know y'all are around a lot of different folks, and I'm sure there's a lot of older people that don't either, but I think we're seeing more and more young people that don't have any meaning or purpose because they're not rooted in their Christian life, their relationship with God, and the meaning isn't there. So where they're basing their meaning off of are the things in this life. That's where they're trying to pull meaning from, and what we're ending up seeing is a bunch of depressed young people because there is no real purpose or meaning that you can gain from the things of this world. It's fleeting. It's temporary, right? We know that. But at the end of the day, this verse is telling us, he who finds me, wisdom, finds life. The life that everyone desires and what God desires to live for us to live through him. That's wisdom. That's what this is referring to. And I just think this is referring to the greatest life available. The life. The Christian life that God offers us through him, through his power, through his knowledge, through everything that he provides us to live with it. That's what he's trying to get us to go towards. But it does require the things that we just talked about, right? The list that we saw there. So God offers it, and I think you're all taking part in it. You're here, and I know you all live and have some success in the spiritual life. I know that for a fact. The word find here means to find or attain, as in a thing sought after, to find. You know, when you think about finding something, there is an effort that goes into finding something. Think about your journey up to this point in your life. You had to find what you're looking for. Of course, God knew you were positive, and he provided every single bit of it. But at the end of the day, you still had to find it. You had to make your way to this point or to that point or to that point. Finding takes effort. Finding something takes a responsibility, a volitional decision to move in that direction. Finding. Not just stumble on it. That's not the word, right? It's finding it. There's a pursuit involved in finding something. There usually is for me when I'm looking for something around the house. There's a pursuit I have to go through. For some reason, Izzy always has the answer where it is, or Abby. Me and Rex don't, where is this at? Where? Oh, it's over there. Okay. You know, we spent 10 minutes looking for it. But there's always a pursuit involved in finding something. Finding something. You're looking for it. You're searching. You want to get to the bottom of it. And it's no different with finding the life that God offers us. It's just in a different area. It's doing it in obedience and doing it through him and the way he desires us to do it. So there's a path that we have to take. There's a direction also that comes with finding the life that God wants us to live. All these things are included in this, right? But I think we can all understand that there's a continued pursuit that comes with finding wisdom. There's a pursuit, a continued pursuit. And there's a continued finding as well, right? We don't just hit the mother lode and all of a sudden that's it. This is it. You continually find things in the Word of God. I know I do and I hope you do. We talk about these every week, right? We find things. These are new to us. Whether we've heard it before or not, something is new or we see something differently or we're at a level where we can actually apply it. So in that way, there's a finding element that comes with this. I think there's always is something we find. And so by attain, I'm referring to the full process of being taught, receiving God's instruction, followed by living out God's will in your life through wisdom. That's what I mean by attaining something. This word carries attain in it too. You know, when you find something, when we're talking about an object, you do find it, right? But when it's the Word of God, you can't just stop. We have to continue to seek, continue to move forward, continue to persevere. All these things are in the Word of God. He gives us mandates, commands to go, right? To continue to run the race. All these commands are to continue moving, to go out, and all these things are to move forward. Don't stop, right? And that's part of the finding. Continue to find what God wants you to do and to do it successfully. And I think this word, the Christian who finds wisdom and finds life, the true life, is the only way to have and be a successful Christian. This is it, right here. To continue to find what we're looking for. And it's not that hard, is it? God makes it always available. Because it says, the verse says, when we find or attain wisdom, we also find the unique life that God is waiting on every person to enjoy, to have, to be satisfied in. So this isn't something that God is holding from us, but it is something that we have to find. It's something that is required of you and me to do. So, and, see the word and here? Says, and there's more, right? Something accompanies the finding the life and obtains favor from the Lord. So it gets even better, right? It's not just an awesome life that you find. It's obtaining the favor from the Lord. Obtain favor here is just one Hebrew word that means to bring out, to furnish, or to promote. That's kind of neat, isn't it? So when you combine this with this word, has a causative sense to it. So wisdom is what causes you to be furnished. It's what causes you to be promoted. It's what causes you to have the more and the better and the satisfaction that God provides us through the Christian way of life. That's the favor. You are favored over the unbeliever, believe it or not. You are favored. Is that fair? Yes, it is fair. Because they have chosen not to be favored, and you have chosen to be favored. So there is naturally a favor that comes from the person who desires the solution that God offers us. That's favor. This isn't just offered to some. This is offered to all. That's where the equality comes in with God. This is something that everyone has access to, everyone can have. Everyone can have this life, and everyone can have favor. But see, not everyone wants these things. So you can understand how this is not only fair, but very, very just as well, right? In line with God's justice. So, and that's what brings, or at least partially, how we realize these things. And how amazing God is in providing us the things we need in the time we need them, right? It's His choice, His grace. That's part of the furnishing, the promoting. That's what wisdom brings us. Fully furnished. Brings us up to speed. You just thought you needed all those things. You really don't. God knows what you need, and wisdom allows you to see what you really need and what you really don't need. That's a big deal. You know, otherwise, if we don't have the truth to see what we need, we think we need everything. Everybody thinks they need everything in the world, right? We need everything, but what wisdom is trying to tell us. If we can really see what we need, then you can make better decisions in life about what you don't need or what you should receive, right? And I'm not telling you not to get something or don't get something. You know, I love Amazon too. It's great. But at the same time, you know, we have decisions to make. God gives you these things for a reason, to bless you, right? Even with Prime service. How nice is that? Man, we're spoiled, aren't we? Next day it shows up on your doorstep. Go figure. That's amazing. I don't think that'll last forever. That can't last forever. So enjoy it while you can. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's never happened before. You know, the times in which we live, the things God provides us, the things that we have at our fingertips. I mean, you can go to the grocery store. You realize that? Not everybody can just go to the grocery store. You have an AC? You got hot water? There's a lot of things that you're being blessed with. And you know, I think the Word of God brings an awareness to us when you turn on that hot water and you're taking a hot shower. It's not bad. Not everybody has that. So, to provide means to equip someone to do what they need to do. That's what providing means. Not only is God blessing us, but He's providing you with what you need to be in His plan and to function in His plan for your life. That's grace. That's grace. A positive believer is going to have the things they need in whatever area they find themselves in. Whether it be money, whether it be gas, whether it be a place to sleep, whether it be family, friends, whether it be a job, it doesn't matter. Food on the table, God will provide what you need, when you need it, and how you need it. And that's a wonderful thing to think about, because it's not me or you providing it. We're not consistent. We can't be consistent. It's God providing it. And that's the beauty of it, because He is the ultimate of consistency, right? That's really where we derive our consistent nature from. It's from God's faithfulness to you. That's why we become consistent. It's because God is always there for us and waiting on us. So we should probably show up daily at His door, right? Daily. This is the daily thing, and we should. So this is about obtaining, receiving. And I said to furnish also means to equip someone with what they need and how they need it and where they need it. So, and you know, these things do give a person a sense of joy. I'm not telling you that you receive your joy from those things. I'm telling you, you can be in a state of joy by having and realizing that you don't need the things that you may think you need. There's joy to be had in your specific area where you are with what you have, not your neighbor and what they have, not looking over at something that you wish you had. That brings unhappiness. It's getting comfortable in your situation and allowing God to move, furnish, promote, whatever He wants to do, where you're at right now. See, that's a lot more relaxing than always looking over the fence at the greener grass, maybe, or what you perceive as greener grass, right? It's not necessarily greener. When you really go and look at the details of what you think is greener, it's always issues. There's always problems. There's always maintenance. There's always things to be done that you don't have the capacity to handle. And that's why God doesn't give them to you. So get comfortable. Realize that there are things a lot to be enjoyed right now. Not when you get, you know, that. Don't have that when or that what if type of scenario. You know, we could be waiting forever. That just means if we're in the what if stage, that just means we don't have the capacity for the what if. We don't. If we're in the what if, we have everything. So we are equipped. We're equipped to do the job at hand or to pass the test at hand. God's given you the means, the things that we need to pass the test. You know, God is always two steps in front of us. I don't know if you realize that, but He is. Two steps in front of you. He'll provide you with something before something actually hits. You have whatever you need, whether it be something physical in the world or whether you have the Word, the spiritual, He will provide it before the actual adversity hits the test. And that's huge, right? We have what we need to complete the process. We have it. We don't need outside of that. God provides it. Remember, He's ahead of you. And that's part of that preservation, that preserving nature of wisdom. It preserves you because you obtain favor. You have favor. God is going to look out for the people that look out and trust in Him. That's just positive volition, how it works, right? God honors faith and trust in Him. So I think this is a good place probably to take a break. And when we come back, we'll pick up with the same idea here. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You. Thank You so much for Your grace and Your blessings. And we're just always blown away by the things that we currently have. And sometimes we don't realize or see, but the reality is that You've already provided the things we need, and You've provided the physical and the spiritual means to enjoy, truly enjoy what we have through You. And most importantly, we thank You for Jesus Christ, who provided our salvation, who was sinless, yet willingly came to this earth to pay our penalty for the sin that we have. And what that did for us is it opened up a relationship back with You that we can enjoy. But there is a requirement from every person that must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to receive that gift and that relationship of salvation. We thank You so much for these things, to be able to simply trust in You for them. And we just bless You and glorify You continually. We thank You for these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.